Gruesome Herzog, the voice of horror.
Hi, this is Cindy Maples, and I played Emily in The Creepy Doll, and you're listening to Gruesome Herzog, the voice of horror.
Hello, everyone. This is Gruesome Herzog. My very special guest today is actress Cindy Maples. How you doing, Cindy?
Hey, Gruesome. Can I call you Gruesome?
You can call me anything you want.
All right, awesome, because I just think it's really cool that I can call somebody Gruesome and not get slapped for it.
No problem.
How are you? How are you doing?
Doing good. As you know, Hurricane Irene hit us, the East Coast, and you know how that goes, the high winds and the rain, and out goes the electricity.
And well, it came on in time for you to talk to me, though. That's the most important part, right?
Damn straight. And also, yeah, it was like 23 hours we waited, and boom, midnight last night it came on. So I got the hell out of bed and did my research on the computer. So damn, thank God. That's all I cared about.
Oh, thank you. Well, see that touches my heart right there.
Anyways, thanks for coming on. We had this plan for a little bit, but our wires got crossed, so we finally got on
here.
Well,
that's all right. You are more than welcome. I'm so happy that you asked me to come on. And yeah, we've kind of been planning this for a while, and we've had one thing after another, but the great minds have gotten together finally.
Excellent. Now, there's a film that you were in 2009, which I have not yet to see it, and it kind of...
Yeah, what's up with that?
It kind of, yeah. It's called Widow, and you played the character of Vivian Potts. Now, I know a lot of people reviewed this. Of course, I didn't get a chance to yet, which I will. And some people might not have heard anything about this. But if you want, would you be interested in sharing the role that you had in there? You know, not a lot to give it away, but just your experiences in that film.
Oh, and actually, it was my first film, so it was a great experience. It was a great learning experience because I had never done anything like that before. And I played the role of Vivian Potts, which is the lead actress in the lead role in that movie. And basically, Vivian has just recently lost her husband. She's going through a massive grieving process. And her sister, who she's been estranged from for a few years, shows up. And all kinds of trouble starts when the sister shows up. And basically, that's about all I can say without... you know, she has a boyfriend. Her boyfriend comes into the picture. Well, sort of a boyfriend. He wants to be a boyfriend, and she's not really sure she wants him to be a boyfriend. And that's played by Steve Hudgens, who actually is the co-owner of Big Biting Pig Productions, who made the movie. So I got to work with him, and that was a great experience, and wound up working with him later on, too. But we just had a really good time. It was a small cast. There was only four of us, and so we became family pretty quick.
Right.
We shot most of it in the director's house. The director's P.J. Woodside. She wrote, directed, produced. She did it all on this. She's a superwoman, and we just had a great time. We practically lived at PJ's house the whole time that we were working on it. But it was a great experience. We had a really, really good time. And it's not your typical horror movie. There's a little blood and gore in it, but not too much. It's more of a psychological thriller, which I love psychological thrillers, so it was a lot of fun.
Now, if I'm mistaken, your husband was in the film too, right? And that's Rusty James?
Rusty James, right. He played my dead husband, who had a lot of screen time for a dead man. So
wow. Alex Potts.
Yeah.
But the movie that I really saw you the most in, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but first I'd like to start with, you're also in a short film, Silence of the Bell, in 2010.
Right. I did that right after I worked on Widow with Mark Pyle. And I really didn't. I had a really, really small role in it. And Rusty, again, my husband, was in it. But we both had really, really small parts, and only worked on it for a couple of days. So you know, it was a good experience to get to work with some people that we hadn't worked with before, and meet some more people that are regional directors and that work in the industry around here. So it was a great experience. It's a nice little short. Actually, it's going to be playing up in Indy and another festival down here in Kentucky before long, too. So
oh, cool.
It's still out there, roaming around, So, and everybody always really enjoys it. It's kind of a dark comedy is how it's described, and it's an interesting little story.
I'm going to check that out. Yeah, you know, a lot of people, you know, I specialize, of course, in horror and thrillers, but every now and then I kind of take a break from horror, you know, for like one night and say, hey, how about we watch a comedy? Now, I really love the comedy horror. Now, I get the best of both worlds when I do that. But speaking of a horror, the one that I'm going to talk to you about now is, I knew you were in this film. You played Olivia. But the role, I guess to me, it wasn't big like the next two. Well, especially the one coming after this here. But in Hell's Fool is, I got this film in the mail, I guess because of Shriek Fest, and I'm a big zombie fan. I love zombie fans, I mean, zombie films. I don't care if they're $1,000 budget. I just love the idea of anybody who has the audacity and you know, the need and the will to make one and don't care how it looks just because he wanted to make one. That might sound stupid saying that, but...
And I think anybody, any horror director, they feel that. They at least want to make one zombie movie.
Right. Well, Hell is Fool, I thought was very interesting. I actually loved it. I reviewed it. It's directed by Steve Hudgens.
Very good.
You played Olivia, like I mentioned, and your husband, Rusty, played a character of Don. Of course, Steve played Reggie. PJ played Veronica. Gray Hurt played Dr. Morgan. And Randy Hardesty as Joe, and the cast goes on. Your experience now, how did this movie react to you as far as a zombie film? I mean, I know it's your first one. What was the experience like for you to do this?
Well, you know, it's interesting because everybody, you know, says, oh, how you get to do a zombie movie. And I've heard Steve say this countless times, that people were coming to him going, man, I just want to be a zombie. I want to be in your movie so I can be a zombie. But, you know, like he'll tell people, you know, well, if you're a zombie in my movie, that means you've got a really big part because, you know, there weren't really that many zombies per se, not until, well, and I can't give it all away, but not really till the end, you know, that there's actual real zombies. Because it's more of a story about these people and the choices, some bad choices and some good choices, but mostly the choices that they're making and how they affect their lives. And this whole zombie apocalypse that's going around is kind of the result of their bad decisions. So, or, you know, or just being in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know.
Right.
So it's very well done. You know, when we started talking about, you know, doing it and, you know, what the story was about, you know, it was hard because you didn't really know where you were going next because we all shot, you know, our scenes because it's kind of little vignettes of characters.
Right.
So you never knew how your story was connected to anybody else in the movie, and we didn't know until it premiered, you know, how these things were all connected, and of course, we're all kind of friends, and so we all kind of knew bits and pieces, but none of us could put it together how this was going to wind up. But it was a great experience. Then, you know, I say to this day, I don't know if you've watched the deleted scenes or not, but I spent one very, very cold October morning because, you know, I wear pajamas through pretty much all of it, but one very, very cold October morning, full zombie makeup, in the middle of a street, barefoot. So, and then the scene got cut. So, I was like, "Are you kidding me?" So being a zombie is not all it's cut out to be. You know?
But I can tell you one thing about that film that I thought was neat is you mentioned it. Is they'll show a scene at one point in the movie, then it goes back to the next person that you know that you've seen again. You know, like the father and the daughter, if I remember correctly, and I thought it was so cool how they did that. And in the beginning, where the guy misses his wife, however, it's just that cool the big yard, the house. It was a really neat film, and I really enjoyed that one. You know,
I did too. I would say it's probably my favorite of all of the big biting pig movies to sit down and just watch over, and I hate to watch myself, so to say that, probably because I'm not in it that much, you know, I just have my little vignette and then we move on, but yeah, I love to sit and watch it because every time I watch it, I find something new that I missed before that's a connection, you know, one of those connections that's in it, you know, and I go, oh, look at that, what's going on in the background. I missed that before, you know. So it's always fun to go back and watch that one.
Well, even with people like that review them, or even fans who buy it and they watch it a second time, they're always going to see something that they didn't see before, because sometimes you get so into the one scene that you're watching, you kind of like miss other things the second time, I mean the first time, and then you go back and see them the second time. Now,
it's definitely one of those movies that when you finish, you almost have to watch it again just to say, oh, okay, now I know what's going on. I need to go back and rewatch this and look for these things.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I really enjoyed that one. That's, you know, in my collection, of course, and that's one of my, you know, I have a collection of films that get sent to me, but I have a certain spot for each ones that I really dig. You know, the funny part about me...
And that one's in the spot, right?
You know what, the funny part about me is every film that I've got sent to me that I didn't know was coming, I enjoyed all of them. That's the weird part about me. See, I'm not a picky stickler. You know, I don't, like, some of these reviewers will stand there and nick and pick about the blood, how cheap it looks. That is so stupid. I mean, seriously. I mean, my... You know, when I review a film, when I review a film, I base it on the salary of how much he spent to make it. Then I make my judgment. You know, that's most important, because a $3,000 film is not going to match up to a $30,000 film. It's just not going to happen. So,
right. They just don't have the same sort of resources. So,
right.
It just stands to reason. Yeah.
Now, speaking of creepy... All right, Cindy, the next film I want to talk about, it's called A Creepy Doll in 2011. Directed by P.J. Woodside. I got the film last week. I popped it in. I couldn't wait. And I watched this. And I quite enjoyed this. Now, one thing that I find amazing about you is, I don't know if you heard this before, but when I hear you talk and I hear you, when I see you act, it reminds me of Patty Duke. I don't know if you...
No, I've never heard that before. That is quite an honor to be compared to her.
You're
That's
welcome.
Awesome.
You're welcome, because my wife is a big Lifetime movie watcher. And if you haven't noticed, she's in a lot of the films on Lifetime, like you know, like A Grieving Mother or A Mother of a Child That Was Killed in the Army and stuff. And just the way she acts and performs her character, the reason why I say that is because you played a mother and also a mother-in-law in this film, and well, you played that Patty Duke role. You had I can't explain it, the mother role of trying to get to know the bride, you know, the daughter-in-law, and then your husband in the film accuses you of being a meddler. However, I ain't saying no more, but
right.
But your
well,
role.
It's funny you should call her. You know that he's basically accusing her of that, because when he first got the script and I was looking at it, and I went to PJ because I didn't know where to go with her. I just wasn't sure. It was just a completely different kind of character for me, and so I asked PJ, what are you wanting from her? What are you looking for? And she said, well, she's a meddler, but she's not. And I was like,
right,
wow. Okay.
Right.
Where do I go with that?
See,
but once we got into it, I knew exactly what she meant. I knew what she was talking about.
Well, Christine Renee Farley,
I thought she
was amazing in this film. I mean, how she could turn it and change. But the next film that you sent me a link to, which I could not resist watching it right away, and Wireface in the Beginning. It's a short film. It's like a prequel. And I'll let you explain it to the listeners if you don't know anything about it yet.
And again, then I can only say so much.
Sure. And then I'm going to give my commentary on that film.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's called Wireface in the Beginning. And it was written by Merritt Alexander, and it's directed by Christopher Alan Rommel. And his wife, Ashley Rommel, also does a lot with it, too. She helped produce, and gosh, she did makeup, and she did hair, and she was just right in the thick of it with all of it. It's basically what it is a 28-minute short. And it is what we're calling a featurette, and it basically sets up the story of Wireface, which is a feature-length film that we're hoping to shoot next year and get out. But this short story tells the story of Xavier Parrish or Paris, I'm sorry, and what he goes through in his life that eventually leads him down the path to become the serial killer that will be known as Wireface. I play Joanne Paris, his mother, and it was a great experience for me. I got to play 30 to all the way up to 60, and you know the boys kept growing up and until it became the grown up Xavier Paris. So I got to work with a lot of different people in it, but it was just great. It's a great little story to help build to what we're getting to, which is the actual movie itself. Because so often you get a very short little background story on a serial killer and what made him a serial killer. And this gives a really in-depth look at everything that he went through that led him to be who he is. So it's a great little story. There's 14 webisodes that are actually were done about the same time, which can be found on the website, which is thewireface.com. There's 14 webisodes that are actually taking place about 6 years after this featurette ends, and it is basically the girls that have been kidnapped and killed by Wireface. So the story kind of continues on the website. So and the actual featurette, Wireface in the Beginning, will be released in February at the Derby City Film Festival. So you got a sneak peek of it.
Well, I want to tell you something. See, a lot of people, when they get a link to watch something, they read. Now, I have a motto that I do. I do not read nothing. I watch first. Because, same goes for trailers. I don't watch trailers. Because, not until after I watch the film. Because I'm afraid that something's going to be given away, and it's going to blow my excitement.
These days, a lot of times the trailers, that is the excitement. That's all you're going to get.
Right. But when I watch this film, again, your role sticks out. Your son in the movie sticks out. And then I'm watching this. It goes back and forth, you know. And then right at the very end of the short, you don't see it come. Well, I can't say you don't see it coming. I guess you don't see it coming because you know it's a prequel to how he becomes, you know. But
right.
Just fact.
So you know you're building towards something the whole
right.
time. And the great thing about this, when people actually finally get a chance to see this, is it is just loaded with clues. I mean, there's all kinds of clues within this little featurette of what's going to come when we get to do the actual movie and people get to see the movie. So, and it will all be a package deal once it's all said and done. There's also a comic book that he's got coming out in October that's part of this whole project. It is a huge project. There's going to be a graphic novel that's going to be done. So it's going to be huge once it's all said and done.
But, right.
We've been having a blast working on it, that's for sure.
Well, as you know, I gave it a 9 out of 10. And I'll say it loud.
I know, which is awesome. That was great.
I'll say it loud and proud because how it was made like a Lifetime film until the very end.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's very heartwarming and there's parts that'll kind of make you want to cry.
Right.
And then it gets really serious, and it doesn't mess around.
Your husband,
yeah, it leaves you wanting more. That's
exactly
the bottom line, and that's what it's supposed to do. So I think it's definitely fulfilled what it was supposed to do. I'm very proud of it. I don't think I could be any happier with it. I think it just turned out awesome.
It did. You know, you like you said, it went through stages 30 to 60, and I knew something was up with. You know, with your son in the film because it kept bouncing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then, anyways, I got to stop saying too much about this because I want people to be surprised
in
February.
Yeah, we don't want to give anything away, that's for sure.
But the next film...
But Wireface is coming and it's going to be awesome.
And people who dig serial killers, you know, made up ones that is like the, you know, I think they're really, really going to dig this. I enjoyed it. I want to see more. So
good. You shall see more, sir.
Now, the next film, your newest one that...
The one I just wrapped on, actually.
And that's the funny part, because I was talking to you as you're going to the set on the night scenes, but... Can I park here?
Where do I go?
But it's called The Birthday Massacre. Now, that's going to be released in 2012. If people are interested in checking this out, they go to www.birthday/massacre.com.
You got it.
Now, I know you can't say too much, obviously, because it's in production. But
I think they might still have one more weekend to work on it.
Okay.
But I'm wrapped on my part. So
if you want, you can mention a little bit about, you know, what you can say.
I can give the general outline of what the story is about. Like you said, The Birthday Massacre is what it's called. And, you know, when I got the script, I was so excited because, you know, I love 80s slasher movies.
So do I.
Oh, my gosh. They're the best. And they just don't make them like that anymore.
Nope.
And I read the script, and I went, oh, my gosh. This is an 80s slasher movie. And I'm like, I'll do it. Yeah. Let's go. You know, let's start immediately. But the basic storyline is there's a little boy named Jonathan on his 7th birthday. He becomes friends with a clown at his birthday party. Later on that night, his mother and her boyfriend are killed and very brutally. And Jonathan has to go away to a psychiatric hospital to deal with all of this. And he's kind of left there for the next 10 years. And then in comes the rest of his family. I play his aunt, Mary Clark. And I have some issues of my own and kind of a dark past. And I've recently found God. And as far as I'm concerned, going and getting Jonathan out of the psychiatric hospital and having him come and stay with us is my salvation. It's how I'm going to redeem myself. So we go and we get him, and all hell breaks loose. Let's just say that. That's the best way. You know, no good deed goes unpunished. Let's just say that. But it's great. We've had so much fun. Crystal and Price has done the special effects makeup on it, and I just can't say enough nice things about her. She was just amazing. I've never seen such realistic wounds. So it was great. I've just had such a good time with this, just because I've always wanted to do a slasher movie, and it's just been so much fun. Great cast. Derek Wynn, very very nice young man, plays the part of Jonathan, and he has just blown me away every time I've had a scene with him. So it's gonna be great. You just wait for this one.
I can't wait. I have a massacre. Who is it?
Right, Kenny White. Yeah, Kenny White of White Hair Productions, and it's being produced by Keith and Laura Parker, who are from Torn Space Films, who have a background already in horror movies. And Kenny, this is actually his first horror movie. He's done other stuff, but this is his first little venture into horror. So, yeah, and they're great people to work with. I just absolutely adored them.
Very interested. That sounds like a gruesome interview in the future. What do you think?
There you go. I think so. I would love that. And I'm sure they would love to talk to you.
Excellent. Well, Cindy, I want to thank you very much for coming on my podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart.
And keep in touch. Who knows? You might be a guest in the near future. I have an anniversary podcast scheduled soon. Well, I don't know about how soon with the work schedule, but I have something that I'm working on that I'm going to get quite a few surprising guests on that I'm working on, but I will have you on as well.
Okay, great. I'd love that.
So, just be prepared.
All right, is it bedtime? You know how us old people have to go to bed.
Well, it's 8:22 your time, so it ain't quite.
Oh, God. It's early. It's still early, but I think I could probably fall asleep. That's the sad part.
Me too. So, anyways, thanks.
All right, thank you, and you have a wonderful evening. What's left?
Gruesome Herzog, the voice of horror.